some of my dear friends gave me a shirt this year. And so my word of the year is no. And so my shirt says nope, because they know me and love me enough to know that I'm susceptible to say yes easily. Hey wives, welcome. I'm Kelly Brinkman and we're here on the A Wife Like Me podcast. Check us out on YouTube. You can see the cute clothes Amanda's wearing today. We are featuring the Amanda Davison. Whoop whoop. She's the founder and creator of A Wife Like Me, and she inspires us and invites so much comment into our lives as wives. So she organizes the podcast team, but all of the writers and contributors you see on the website, you see in the collective, all the things. Welcome, Amanda.
Hey, thanks for having me. This is so fun.
I never get to do the intro, so we arm wrestled and I won. Yeah.
When you're like, hey, can I intro you? I'm like, yeah. And then I'm like, oh, what is she going to say about me?
That's how I feel every week, girl. Every week.
It's so awesome.
Love
this,
it.
This is
yeah. So today we're here for a public, you know, podcast, but it's a little bit of a personal. I'm going to get so much out of this personally. So Amanda, you know, has been a teacher. She serves at her church. She's taught at colleges. She's a counselor and all around good friend. And she's today we're talking about being overcommitted and what to do about it. So first we were talking about what does that look like? And I have to share with you a personal story. Like I'm super good at the overcommitted department, right? It's one thing I continue to try to, or an F, I continue to try to get better at it. So earlier in our marriage, I would fold in so many things because I was used to living at the pace of super busy. And sometimes I did that so that I maybe didn't have to stop and feel things more deeply or deal with some things. And so I would just pile it on. Like a calendar was like every last inch was piled on. And then about every 3-4 months, I would lose my mind and sit on the floor and totally cry in a heap and just be like exhausted. And my husband would be like, so what? Okay. How did we get here? Yeah. So I had to do that a solid 3-4 times, maybe more, to totally begin to break the cycle. So overcommitted used to be my jam. I'm a recovering overcommitter, right? Mm. Always a process. So tell us, what does that look like in circles that you've seen, people that you visited with, even in your own life, Amanda?
Well, we touched on this last episode, so I'm glad we're like coming back to it because I think that for many of us, especially in the Christian, even maybe more so perhaps in the Christian like circles, we fail to talk about this well, if at all. And so because of that, then we just continue on like living at the pace or the rhythm that we have, and it doesn't serve us well. Doesn't serve our people well, doesn't serve the Lord, doesn't honor him. And so it's important that we like think about it because, you know, for many reasons, we live at a pace that's not in line with scripture. We live at a pace that we weren't designed to live in, especially in today's world with all of the things, again, vying for our attention, vying for our mental capacity, you know, whether it's politics, whether it's hard things happening in the world, social media, just devices, everything is at our fingertips. So there's so much that can fill our brains. And so when we say like overcommitted, it doesn't necessarily mean I'm signed up for all the committees. It okay. can mean that I'm overcommitted and distracted to things that aren't the best things that God has for me. So like I'm giving myself, my energy, my mental capacity away to things that are not what God has me to be doing, you know? And so that is like this overcommitment idea to me. Like it's not just activities. It's everything else. It's our energy and our time and all that. And so I think that within the Christian circles, it's even more difficult for us when it comes to this topic, because we have this sort of like unspoken, maybe spoken like idea that of what it looks like to be a good Christian, you know, I'm doing like air quotes. And so that looks like essentially giving yourself away to everything and everyone else. And so it means like, you know, loving others, you know, at the sake of neglecting yourself, you know. And so then that looks like serving every Sunday in the children's ministry. It looks like bringing a meal every Wednesday for the youth group. It looks like, you know, serving on the women's ministry team. It looks like showing up for the events every time that church has something. Whatever that looks like that we think it looks like, you know, it looks like essentially doing all the things and not really thinking much about it, because it's just what you're supposed to do as a Christian, you know? And so even like,
which is untrue.
Right. Exactly. Right. So like we just go though with that because that's what we're supposed to do. Right. Like that. And it's just like what people do, what they say from Sunday morning, or that's what we've grown up thinking or whatever that looks like. And so that's just like church stuff that I mentioned. And then you add in like the things that we just fall into doing without even thinking or signing up for it. I remember there was a season in my life where I was teaching full time at a college, and I somehow got on the women's ministry team at our church. I didn't even sign up for it. I was just now then I was like, oh, so I'm on the team or something? Like, what's happening? I didn't even know I was called into this meeting. And then I realized it was a women's ministry meeting. I'm like, I'm not even on the ministry, whatever. It was so funny. And I had signed up to help with the IF gathering committee, but I didn't know that it was going to be so much. So like I went in kind of thinking it was going to be one thing, and then it turned out to be another. So there are these commitments that we can, or things that we're giving our mind to, that we started out, it was one thing, and then it turns and morphs into something else, or we're somehow doing it and we never really like officially thought about it, but now we're, you know, bringing cookies every week to the soccer team, or I don't know, whatever. And so then like, it's again, good things, but things that we're just doing because we're not really thinking about it. And then there's all the other stuff that we actually are thinking about and wanting to do for some reason. And there might be really good reasons. Like we might actually enjoy helping with the whatever elderly, you know, summer activities or whatever that looks like. We might actually really love it. So like it brings us some joy to do it. Because we are finding, you know, our identity in some sort of position that we hold, or, you know, because we care about what they think that, so then therefore we want to be involved in that thing because we care about what they're going to say about us or whatever, which are obviously not good reasons. So anyway, there are all these reasons that can pull us toward and into a lifestyle that is not living in the means that God is, you know, calling us to live in. Hopefully the point of this episode and to get us to think about is to actually get thinking about what in the world are all the things I'm giving myself to? And is that what the Lord is actually asking me to give myself to? Right.
Right. So you've asked that first question, what's going on in our lives? What has pulled us into that lifestyle? And for me, sometimes I'm black and white, or shoot, you've just got too much going on, that to actually physically write a list of like, what are all the things that you are doing in your life that are taking up time. So it's almost like some of you may even go so far as to say, wow, if I schedule out my day and kind of am honest with what went on in my day, what are those things that are filling my day? And so next you're kind of going into why. Mm-hmm. Why do those things have a place in our lives? And then deeper than that, what are the core reasons behind that why?
And there might not be a good reason. It might literally be that you got sucked into some news channel and are still committed to watching it so much. Like for some reason, you've fallen into a place of being committed to something. Like there might not be a reason. Yeah. It might just be that for some reason, that's what you've been committing your mind to or your time to, you know? So there might not be a deep why.
Yeah. But of the 10 things that you list, that can be true of a couple of them. But even the getting sucked in, I think might be indicative of like, we didn't have an idea of what we wanted to do. So then we got sucked into that. Or,
yeah,
you know, even beyond that, how do we how do we get out of that? So I think, let's say if there's 10 things, some we may not have as strong of a reason for, but to go through every single one of those and say, why am I committed? Why do I allow that to be in my life and on my schedule?
Yeah.
It's a good thing.
For anyone like listening who feels overcommitted, whether again, it's like with activities, schedules, time, whatever, or just mentally, like there's no right. space for peace in my brain and my soul. The first thing, you know, again, is to examine everything you currently have going on. Mm-hmm. And I recommend like literally blocking off like a Saturday morning or a time frame for you to like go to the park, go park somewhere, go sit at a coffee shop or take an evening at home where you just tell your husband like, hey, I'm going to be down in the basement. Please don't come down there. I'm going to be working on something like just for my own stuff or whatever. To really think through all these things and examine each of them.
Right.
I suggest like clearing it off. Like, okay, Lord, like, and be praying about it, obviously, but clear off everything. Like, okay, I have everything on this table, like all these things that I am committed to, whether emotionally, mentally, relationally, socially, you know, whatever that looks like, I'm committed to these things. And then Lord, like, what have you fashioned and uniquely designed me for?
Right.
Me. What have you designed me to do in the spheres of influence you've placed me in? Not my friend, not my neighbor, not Kelly, not Amanda, me. Lord, what are you asking me to do with this, with what you've given me? And what I think many of us would find is like, it's probably not a lot of the things. Like, oh, the Lord isn't calling me to spend and be committed to that news channel that's not adding to my life. He's not, you know, asking or whatever. He might be for different reasons actually too. Like he might be calling you into a position like Kelly on the school board or something like he might be, you know, but so I'm just using that as a silly example that I could think of right now. But, you know, like then it's saying, okay, spending that time with the Lord, who have you designed me to be? And what are you asking me to be laser focused on? Like define that, because for many of us, we say yes to things either intentionally or unintentionally because we don't know who we are. Like we just don't know like mm-hmm. what our spiritual gifts are. You know, I worked at a church for years. We never even did spiritual gifts. We did Enneagram. We did like personality stuff. We didn't even do spiritual gifts. Like we don't even know what spiritual gifts are. And typically not, you know, obviously some do, but so like, based on how God has created you and the people and the priorities you have in your life, being first and foremost Him, then your husband and your kids, and then loving the least and the lost, how are you doing that? Like, what does that mm-hmm. look like? And what is He asking you to do? It might not be anything on your current, you know, commitment table. You might not be committed to anything He's actually calling you to. And so that matters. And those are the things that, you know, only God can help you define. Like, you know, again, we talked last episode, like you asked me, Amanda, what's not in your lane as a mom? And I listed all these things because I knew that those are not things that I thrive in. And that's not to put Amanda down. I'm not like being self-deprecating. It's the truth. And that's good to know. It's good right. to know. You put me in that nursery or the children's ministry, I will be withered up inside. Like I am not gifted to work with kids. I'm not. I'm a mom, like, but I'm not even, I don't, whatever. Like, it's just that those are not my giftings. Welcoming people, having conversation with people, that's my gifting. But put me up and do the slides, I'm going to mess the slides up. Like, I need to know, we need to get better at understanding who God has created us to be so that we can step into and say yes to things that He actually has for us and that will build and edify the kingdom instead of doing things that are not like honoring who God created us to be. And then we're not actually thriving in the places we are. That's a really
right. answer. I love that. So as a visual kid, here's what that looks like, right? Me and not me. So these are the things in my lane. This is how the Lord has gifted me. This is what he's called me to in this season. These are the things, not me. And to identify those, you said it's not in a self-deprecating way or like, oh, I'm terrible because I can't grow plants or maintain a garden. Okay. But I can do some other things really well. And I think that's a process of getting to know ourselves and maturing as well. And that can't be something that we constantly brush under the rug or ignore, but it has to be something that we can do on a gut level that helps us. And sometimes that's sitting down with a friend and go, hey, like, you know me well, like, what are things I do well? And how can I begin to see those? And to just spend a pocket of time in a season of time, whether that be a couple of days or over the course of this month, you go, you know what, I keep getting tripped up by this. I keep being overcommitted, or I'm not genuinely settled in my spirit. And so, Lord, help me to unpack that and figure out where that comes. And some of my dear friends gave me a shirt this year. And so my word of the year is no. And so my shirt says nope, because they know me and love me enough to know that I'm susceptible to say yes easily. Mm-hmm. And so those days when I feel susceptible to that, I wear that shirt. And then it's kind of a joke with my kids. I'm like, go ahead, ask me anything, because my answer is nope. Not today.
Yeah. Right? I think I'm thinking of my many friends who are like helpers on the Enneagram, or like their tendency is to like find their identity and worth in helping others. So how could you say no? Like, how could I ever? because it brings me joy, but then I also like, I'm speaking for my helper friends. It brings me joy to help and to do whatever they need help with. And I find my identity in it then, because I'm good at it. Right. So especially for people then who are like mortified at the idea of what, like you say no to things, you know, it again just comes back to like, Lord, with the time and the season I'm in, with the priorities in front of me, with these people and caring for them, you know, first and foremost, outside of our relationship, my relationship with you, Lord, what, if any, capacity is there? What, if any, margin is there? What I do see so often when it comes to commitments, and again, what all the different types of commitments we have, is that we're so committed to other things outside of our marriage. And then we wonder why we're hurting. And we wonder why we're disconnected and not doing well, you know? And so we've got to be, this is not like a light, passive topic. Like, this is a super important, needed conversation for us to have, because it matters so much for us to be able to prioritize and preventatively like be intentional about the things we say yes and no to. And if we don't have any margin, this is what I see often. This is what I for sure remind women about, is if after your work, whatever that looks like the things you have to do, you have to show up for the 8 to 5 or whatever that you have to do. If after the things you have to do, if you don't have margin for your marriage, then you need to quit all other things, period.
Yeah.
Period. Like, no questions asked, because if there's no space or margin for your husband, then there's a problem. And same goes for him. And so like, if you're committed to the golf league, if you're committed to the mom's group that you're leading, if you're committed to all the whatever, and you don't have margin in your everyday for your marriage, there's a problem. And so we should never feel bad. What I see and what the pushback I often hear from women who are like, but I just want to, I love helping. I love doing things for people. Well, absolutely. Probably, hopefully, most Christians do find some joy in being able to like selflessly serve other people. But what we should be asking and like is, Lord, like if I'm doing that at an expense, if we're doing things that add an expense or cost to our what God is actually asking us to do first and foremost, then we're not actually honoring the Lord. So as much as you love helping other people or doing great things, if you're doing that and not caring well for the people he's placed right in front of you, you're not honoring him, period. So right. I think there's like that, you know, mix up we have like in the Christian culture often where like, again, serve others at to an extent of like, at the expense of yourself. Well, it's like, whoa, but that Jesus never did that. Jesus actually fed his soul. He took time alone with the Father. He sought him. He was still, he took naps. He ate well. He was with his people. He, you know, had great community. And so he took care of his people. And that's where, like, he was present where he was. And out of that, you know, came other things. But we do it backwards. We're like, just do all the things. We need you plugged in at the Sunday school thing. We need you plugged in here. We got to serve here. Instead of, whoa, are we even caring for our people? That's right, what's got to start after our relationship with the Lord. Then, hey, what are you good at? What are your spiritual gifts? How has he designed you? Then from that place, you can make a best yes and no. Lisa Turker's go ahead.
So you did talk about, in order to unpack this overcommitted season or lifestyle, to first look at our time, our priorities, and that should be the Lord, our husband, kids if he's entrusted them to us, our family, and then look at what other margin is there. So it's taking kind of what the world has said, which is always that triangle of priorities. You know, the world has said, hey, do all the things first, and then there might be time for the important ones. And God's like, no, it goes like this: me, and then your spouse, family, and then see what else is there. So it's that's how to unpack it, is to literally look at all those first and stop being fed by what the world is telling us. We have to quiet that a second and saying, what are my priorities? And if my husband is a priority, as he should be, what are things that he needs or that feeds our relationship? And that's time together. You know, for us, it happens to be meals together and sending lunch with Mark more days than not, because I'm trying to make more food, you know, the night before so that it's available, and connecting with him. So I think it's restructuring that. You do talk about spiritual gifts too, and that can be something that is wives, you go to your pastor and say, hey, help me learn more about this. And there's not a certain book that I recommend on that
okay. I recommend it's Sam Storm's Understanding Spiritual Gifts.
Okay.
A great book to understand that. So,
and a lot of that is pulling that out of God's word. So if you do a subject study and look at spiritual gifts, whether that be in your concordance or using different resources, it sounds like that Sam Storm's book would be a good spot to start too. So if you wonder, hey, they're throwing around that word spiritual gifts, where do I start? And continue on, because I think you're saying how to unpack this and to ask why we got there.
Sorry, say that again.
I said, continue on, because you were talking about not only how we're overcommitted, but what to ask ourselves and how to untangle those commitments a bit so that we can live more intentionally.
Yeah, I recommend. So one of the things, after you sort of, again, like, spend time looking at everything, asking the Lord, what are you asking me to do? What are you not asking me to do? What am I, you know, how is my current lifestyle and schedule not honoring of you? Then really making for example, back when I was, overcommitted in many things, again, mentally, like my time at home and outside of the home. I knew my husband, I had a conversation and I was like, oof, yeah, I know, like, the Lord is convicting me that, like, I know that this women's ministry thing, there's no commitment here. Like, I somehow fell into it, right? I'm actually going to just make it known, like, I would love to continue, but at this, I just can't with everything else I have going on right now. You know, thanks so much for having me. But so I was able to step off of that, like, kind of immediately. There was no, like, commitment type of thing. With the other committee I was on, it was like a 2-year term. And so I just made it known, like, at that 2-year mark then, just that I would be stepping off, so that I just kind of made it known to everybody. So even though I was going to obviously fulfill my commitment, I was going to, you know, be stepping off at when that was finished. So there are certain things you can do immediately, potentially, and then others that mm-hmm. you can't. And so fulfilling those, obviously honoring those that you can't, and then stepping away from the things. And this might be, again, like our phones. Maybe we're committed to social media. Maybe it's like, oh, that's going to be a no. Like, I'm going to remove my social media, or I'm going to silence my phone from 5 p.m. to 10 a.m. or I don't know, whatever that looks like. And so then making those decisions, like, what can I decide to do now? What changes can I make now immediately? And then what will be changing at certain times maybe? And then, you know, again, fulfilling those commitments, then maybe things will change. I think a lot will change if you make those immediate decisions that can be made now.
Right.
You'll be more freed up. You'll be more intentional. You'll be able to, you'll find yourself, again, just resting in His presence and not being hurried and rushed like you have been. So those are things. And then
I feel lighter too, and just relieved. Yeah. You know, that I don't have all of those on me. And sometimes I've had to bring in a trusted friend. Like, before I add anything to my schedule, I'm running it past you, because I'm not always discerning the Lord's call in this. Or I give myself a rule that I have 24 hours. If somebody's like, can you do this? Can you bring snacks for the soccer team or whatever? I say, I'll get back to you.
Yeah.
Because internally, I know I have 24 hours, and I need, in that moment, I might be more likely to say yes and overcommit.
Yep.
And so to kind of set up some guards for myself, even,
yes,
can be some strategies to use.
Yes. The best yes by Lisa Turkhurst is so helpful. Right. I remember one of her tips was, when someone asks you to do something, or if you can help with something, to just not answer yes or no. And literally, like you said, literally just say, I'm going to pray about that. Thanks for asking. I'll get back to you. Like, you know. You don't actually have to give an answer right away.
Right.
So ask your husband, do you think this is a smart thing? Like, do you think this is from the Lord? Or do you think, like, what is this going to look like? How is this going to impact us? How is this going to impact you at home? Like, the kids or whatever? Like, you know, again, I'm a 7 on the Enneagram, so I just want to have fun. So, like, I'm always like, oh my gosh, yes. Like, you know, I just want to be like, be with people and do all the fun things. That can easily be hurtful to our marriage and our home if that's how I respond, because I would always say yes. So then also, just with that best yes book, one of the tips too is obviously to not give an answer right away, and then confer and ask your people, like, is this wise that I say yes to this or no?
Right.
And then to be aware that the best yes that you can make is sometimes, oftentimes, maybe perhaps most of the time, a no. So the best, so my best yes is a no in this. So, like, we can say that to ourselves because we understand that. And sometimes I've said that to other people, like, I want to say yes to this so bad. But my best yes is actually saying no. So I'm saying yes to the Lord by honoring who He's made me to be. So I'm going to say no to this. But I want to say yes. Like, I'm making it so clear. Like, I support you. I support this endeavor. I'm fully behind this. I want to say yes and step into it, but my best yes is a no. And what that does then is it, you know, communicates to them, like, that we're, you know,
they're valued.
Oh, yes, valued. And then also what it does is it opens the door for someone else to step in. And if we are saying yes, then how is that allowing, like, to build up other leaders that, like, we're called to in the church? We're not. We're just doing it all the time because we want to be the person or the limelighter, the blah, blah, blah. No, like, that's not biblical. Actually, our role is to then build up other leaders and encourage and equip and empower them to lead. So by us saying our best yes is actually a no, what that does is it allows someone else to actually step in and make that be their best yes as a yes. But we don't know if we just say yes to all the things. So
it's and our yes can harm us and our personal relationships and someone else who is poised and ready to say yes.
Yes. And I really think it's a mark of maturity. Whenever I've asked someone if they can help with something or do something. And right off the bat, they say, let me think on that. Let me pray on that. I'll get back to you. Then they come back with a no. I so appreciate it because I know that they are showing me that they have a level of spiritual maturity and that it's not about me. It's that they're honoring the Lord in that decision,
right.
Period. And there's right. No offense ever in that. Like, and I just appreciate, thank you for making a wise decision for you and your family. I don't ever want to be a decision you make that costs, you know, you or your family or your marriage something ever. So it's just like a mature, wise thing to do.
Yeah, it is. And sometimes I have fallen into the trap of saying yes, because it does sound fun or, oh, what if this? And the saying, you know, has been, by a fellow Missourian, Walt Disney, if you can dream it, you can do it. For me, it's not that. If you can dream it, doesn't mean I should do it. Yeah. Because as a creative person or someone that kind of runs on adrenaline sometimes, and I'm like, oh, that sounds fun. I mean, you and I together would be like, it would be a lot of fun, right?
It is, but,
right. I mean, if we lived by each other, it'd be, but it can be something where I've had to kind of let myself go ahead and do that planning or entertain that idea on paper and to not actually do it. You know, at times when I think of, oh, wouldn't that be great to do this party for this group of people to honor them and to thank them? And I will let myself plan a little bit and think of creative things to do. And then I say, you know, this isn't actually practical. I'm not going to do this because of the time and the expense or, you know, the time of year, what have you. But I let myself go ahead and plan the full thing so that I still experience the creativity and problem solving and solutions that I love, but I may not actualize into a real thing. So some of that is knowing yourself and knowing really what do you need, really what is at the core of those things that you're trying to fulfill by being there for so many other people. And it's going back to those priorities that I don't rope my entire family into this when it's really not that important. They're more important.
Yeah. Yeah. And I see that happen a lot where there's decisions that are made or commitments that are made or stepped into. And, you know, we don't fully think through how it's going to affect or impact our everyday, our weekly lives. Like, you know, what does this commitment actually entail fully?
Right.
And we don't, you know, ask follow, like how many, okay, you might have 4 meetings a year, but how much preparation time is needed or typical for each of those 4 meetings? Well, usually at least a day. Okay, that's helpful to know. What else? Oh, there's 2 conferences that we expect all of our people to be. Okay, that's helpful. So it's not only 4 meetings, it's also another 4 full days and 2 times a year where I'm going to have to take a trip. Okay, let me pray about that. Now I know what's expected. Right. Now my husband and I can chat about, are you cool with me being, you know, busy that much more? And are you, whatever, like, but typically right. We're like, oh yeah, I'm doing this. And we don't really, even if it's again, aligned with our spiritual gifts, aligned with who God has created us to be, we send sometimes though, it's just not, again, we don't have the margin even. And so then whatever.
Right.
So
if just, you can dream it, doesn't mean you should do it.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. Yeah.
There's some good strategies, keeping a core group of people in our life to kind of bounce things off of. Some, before we get to decisions, having a plan in place, like Lisa Turker said, not saying yes in the moment, but to pray about that. Right. And another strategy I heard you say was to really think through the full impact of it. And maybe that's write it out on paper, kind of look at what that would look like in your calendar. And to think that extra step, how would it impact my core group of people? You know, my husband, my immediate family. Some good strategies to think about to make sure that we don't continue to live on this cycle of being overcommitted, exhausted,
yeah.
And in a puddle of tears.
Yes. And if you need more help on that, in the A Wife Like Me collective, you have Design My Day available. at any time, but you can also just get that at a wife like me, excuse me, wifelikeme.com. And that also helps you like plan out your musts, the things you have to do, the things you want to do, and then your non-negotiables, and schedule your day around those and not all the other things. So
yeah. Have mine right here.
Yeah, yeah.
I use it and it has been a great retreat, and it's something I continue to go back to.
Yes.
And I kind of have a particular place I go to, a particular coffee shop where I'm like, this is where I go and this is where I sit to review this, so that it becomes a special moment, but also like a commitment. Like, I am getting here and doing this.
Yes.
To make sure that, you know, we're living intentionally. And really, wives, our greatest prayer for you is that you would live with the peace of God just in your hearts, and it would overflow from you, and that you would have such a steadiness that can come only from Him. Yeah. I have tried to find purpose and fulfillment in all the other things. And I'll tell you that it never comes from those things. It never comes from doing more or trying to be more, but it comes only from Him and knowing exactly who He's made you to be. So yes. That's our prayer for you as you continue to pursue this wifehood. Know that you have friends who are cheering for you and prayer team that continues to pray over you as you seek the Lord and aim for His heart. You will hit richness and fulfillment every time.
I want to read Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. With that, it says, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." I love that.
And that's Matthew 11, 28 through 30.
Yeah.
That was in the Message. I love that. It helps me then kind of go back to other translations and read that.
Yeah.
And understand that more richly. Yeah. So at the end of, oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, at the end of every episode, Kelly usually asks me something, but I'm going to flip the script and I'm going to ask Kelly something.
Do it, girl.
So, Kelly, if right now, if you could have any dessert in front of you of your choice, what would you choose?
Oh, man, so many things. Something with carbs.
Just one. If you could just choose one thing, one dessert.
Okay, I'm going to go with, you're going to love this too, because I know you love Oreos. The Oreo cookie. There's a bakery in town. Ooh. That makes cookie dough, crunches up Oreos in it, puts a thin layer down on a cookie sheet, puts an Oreo in there, and then a thin layer of cookie on the top. I mean,
wow.
you can't go wrong with that.
That's dangerously good.
Yeah, I've ordered a dozen for my birthday before.
Well, yeah, you did.
Yeah.
Smart.
Totally got sick in the belly area from having two or three. So next time only order half dozen, but yeah. How about you?
Oh, I'd have a blizzard and Dairy Queen.
Oh, right. Right. Man. The DQ blizzard. Yep.
I'd probably have either a s'mores blizzard or a Reese's Extreme blizzard, because those are really good too. If those are all out or out of season, then I'll just get a cookie dough.
Oh, a cookie dough. Okay, that's solid.
They're all amazing. You know, I'll eat anything, but it's usually ice cream.
Right.
Yeah.
That's delicious.
No.
Yeah. That would be a great retreat. Ladies, you can combine both today. Go get you a blizzard or a treat. And even just sit for a moment and think about your day and your schedule and things that are on it that you don't want there. You don't want them to be there.
Yes.
We are continue to cheer for you and pray for you, and we by no means have it figured out, but we will surely link arms with you. So send us a DM, jump over to YouTube if you need to see a friend, hop on the podcast. Goodness me, share this with a friend. That's how we show love to each other, right? Reach out to another wife, share it with them, tell them, hey, I get you. We're figuring this out together.
Yes, we love you, ladies. Thank you so much for being with us, and we will be back next week for an all-new episode. Bye-bye!
Love it!